And that video, it's titled, "This Year Will Be Different." And I don't know how many of you can relate to maybe one thing that was said in that video. Yeah, a lot of things were said. I wrote some of the things down. These people said things like, I need to eat less. I need to visit my family more. I need to be patient more. I need to show respect to my parents. I need to get rid of all this stress in my life. I need things differently. I need to change my temper. I need to work on my character. They basically kept saying, I need to change something throughout the entire video. And it goes on. The guy ends by saying, I don't know if I even want to change. You want the best for me, God, but why don't I want the best for me? I think a lot of times we think that way. A lot of times we know that we can have more in our lives, and we're just like, I just don't know if I can do it. God, can you do it for me? Can you help me through this? We make these goals all the time. And of course, with New Year, we like to set new goals, don't we? But a lot of times we wonder, can we really achieve them and reach them? But how many of you are glad that God is with us and is on our side in the coming year of 2012? And that's the great news about it. These people in this video looked a lot like many of us around the world over the past 24 hours. A lot of us like to reflect on things that took place over the last year. And maybe some were really good things and some were like, shouldn't have done that. And we reflect on stuff. And then we take those things and we begin to think about what it means to us and what we did. And we think about all the stuff that, you know, due to our behavior or our lifestyle or certain circumstances, how did it all play out? And then we take it and we say, we want to make it different in 2012. So what do? We set what? Set new goals. We do this thing called New Year's resolutions. And we sit there and we declare that that we'll work towards something new in 2012 that will give us a different result than what 2011 gave us. We want to see a different outcome. Now, I don't know, you may be someone who's an anti-resolution type person, okay, because it seems too cliche to do it. But let me tell you, everybody in this room has at one time or several times in your life have seen something in your life and said, that needs to change. And hopefully it does happen more than just at the beginning of a new year. And you see things and say, this needs to change. And I'm going to set it in stone today and say, I'm going to change this. Has anyone ever done that besides me? I do it all the time and say, okay, I got to clean it up and move it around and change it. The thing is, we make so many of our decisions usually based off of what we want, not what we need. And that's usually our downfall. We see something we need to do, but then when a situation comes up and we start to walk it out, all of a sudden we go, but I don't really want to do that. I know I need to, but I really want to eat this, or I really want to go here. I really want to be mad right now, or am I right? We tend to walk out what we want rather than what we need. I looked up, Time Magazine has this top 10 list of things. They call it the 10 most commonly broken New Year's resolutions from this past year. So here they are. Maybe you're on this list of something, and let's see how you do. I'm going to start with number 10 and work to the number one thing. Okay, the top 10 commonly broken New Year's resolutions. The number one, or number 10, is people want to quit drinking. It's number 10. Number 9 is people want to volunteer more, saying they want to put others first and quit being so selfish. Number 8 thing that they resolved to do in 2011 was to be less stressed. Number 7, they wanted to travel to a new place. They wanted to have the opportunity to break the routine. Number 6, people said they want to spend more time with family and loved ones. Number 5, they wanted to get out of debt and save money. Number 4, they want to eat healthier and diet. Number 3, they wanted to learn something new, meaning they wanted to continue to grow. They wanted to grow who they were in their knowledge and their wisdom. They wanted to grow in the next year. Number 2 is they wanted to quit smoking. And number 1, which is like number 4, is they wanted to lose weight and get fit. Some people had to put it in there twice. So these 10 things, we probably can relate to one or more or all of these things in this list of things that we say we want to do. And it's interesting because if you read these, they all are about us. What do we need to do to better our life? We want to spend more time with family this year. I'm so tired of being stressed. I need to quit thinking about myself and begin to give and love other people. These are the things that are listed. I need to be better and wiser with my money. I need to be physically fit so I can be more effective in what I do. All these things are things that people say that they made, and yet they're the 10 most common things that people broke. And they didn't stick with it. So let's get off the resolution thing, because I know a lot of us are sitting around, resolutions. And so let's talk about something else. Let's just say the fact that these things are probably personal goals that you have, regardless of the time of the year. And the thing is you have other things that aren't even listed. You could probably make the 10 most commonly things that I broke in my life that I say I went, right? We all can have our own list. Things that we know that we needed to do that maybe the Lord spoke to us, or that we just saw in our lives a pattern, and we says, I need to get away from this type of a pattern, and I'm choosing to change it. Yet when we got into the moment, I know I needed that, but here's what I want to do. And we begin to backtrack. And today I just want to mention one key word to you. The thing that I want us to remember today is, instead of just thinking about these broader goals of I need to do this and I need to do this, I, for myself, have simplified it down to one thing. And that is, this year I want to exercise self-control. Because if you look at this list of things and you look at the things in your own life, that usually they all come down to a decision of us beginning to have self-control and having the self-discipline in our lives to do what we need to do. I wrote, now kids, let me tell you, if you're in kids' church, we are going to be talking about self-control all month long. So you're getting a heads up. So here's your, that's your virtue for the month, but let me give you your definition. If you can remember it next week, maybe I'll have a prize for you. So kids, here it is, and adults, self-control is choosing to do what you should do, not what you want to do. Pretty simple, huh? Choosing to do what you should do, not what you want to do. Right? We see what we need to do, but when we get into the moment, we end up choosing to do what we want to do rather than what we should do. And that is showing a lack of self-control. The Word of God puts it in Proverbs 25:28. It says this. It says, a man who can't control himself is like a city whose walls are broken down. A man who can't control himself is like a city whose walls are broken down. Now, why did they build walls around kingdoms back in the day? For defense. They wanted to keep the bad guys out, right? They would build these walls to protect themselves from any kind of danger, any kind of harm, any kind of destruction. And here we see it being related in Proverbs that if you can't control yourself, you're like a city who's got holes in its wall. Very clearly, a principle here is being told to us that when it comes to self-control, that we need to be guarded in this area. We need to be at the top of our game, because when we're not, we are going to have open spots to be attacked, to be destroyed. And one of the worst enemies when it comes to not having self-control happens to be who? Ourselves. We become our own worst enemy because our fleshly desires are so strong within us that we can say, I want to do this. But if we don't have a mindset and doing the things we need to do to have this discipline, this self-control in our lives, when it comes to the forefront and we're faced with that issue again, we are going to do what we want to do, not what we should do. Because we have holes in our defense. Jen and I have this thing that we say, and I say it all the time to people, if it's necessary, and we challenge each other with this when it comes to us wanting to react to things. We always say, don't react in the flesh, but respond in the spirit. Whenever one of us gets upset, or we want to, you know, or I'm ready to do something I know I shouldn't, I'm being tempted, whatever, I sit there and go, okay, don't react in my flesh, but respond in the spirit. Because we know those two things are always at this war with one another. Our flesh is always looking to gratify what it wants, but the spirit is always looking to bring life to us. And it's this war that continues to go back and forth. I don't know about you, but when I choose to walk and react in my own wants, I tend to make the wrong decision. Anyone else out here ever done that before? When you know to do what you want to do, you tend to make the wrong decision. Has anyone here ever made that not so bright of kind of a decision before? You know, I put some simple things down. Have you ever like been mad and you decided to kick something that's not a movable object? That usually hurts. Or maybe you walk by and you see the donuts and you think, well, just one bite. Next thing you know, three donuts later, you regretted what you did. Or maybe kids, maybe it's the video game and you say, well, just a little bit more time. And next thing you know, you're up all night and it hurts your day. Or maybe parents, adults. We have these behaviors that we see, and when we choose to do and handle it on our own, sometimes it ends up not being such a good decision. And in 2011, we were faced with a lot of things that we had to learn and try to not react in our flesh, but we had to respond in the spirit. We have to come to a place of exercising self-control in our lives if we really choose to want to be an overcomer. Self-control, especially with things we really like or care about, tends to be hard. And sometimes it almost feels impossible, really, to have breakthrough. That's why I'm glad to stand here this morning to tell you that even though it seems hard to have self-control and it seems impossible, I want to tell you that God has given you the power to control yourself. You are not doing it alone. I think a lot of us tend to sit here and think that we are out there all alone doing these things. We sit there and say, okay, I need to overcome this. I need to have breakthrough in this. I need to do this, blah, 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 blah. So I'm going to set this goal for myself. I'm not going to talk this way anymore. I'm not going to behave this way anymore. I'm not going to do whatever it is. But how many of us know when the moment comes when someone talks bad about us, we choose to turn around and talk bad about them? We do what we want to do. We don't have self-control. Or when we get angry, we sit there and just begin to react the wrong way. Or maybe when things begin to hurt us and wound us, we go back to an addictive behavior. And the thing is that we say, oh, I messed up. Well, I'll just have self-control next time. And maybe next year. I've blown it already. And really that mindset is a mindset of fear there. That we're saying and condemning ourselves, saying, can I really overcome? I just blew it again. How am I ever going to do this? And we begin to seclude in our minds ourselves saying, I am doing this all alone. I am never going to overcome it. And the enemy loves to have God's children in that mindset. Because he doesn't have to do a lot. Because when we begin to isolate ourselves, we pull away from relationship with the Lord, relationship with others. We begin to face these things and our flesh begins to just grow and grow in desire, and our spirit begins to just go down and down and down, and we begin to fail time and time again. But here's the good news. I want you, if anything, this morning to realize is, as you go into 2012, that you do not have to do it alone, that God has given you the power by his spirit to be an overcomer in the year 2012. The addictions that you've had for a year, 20 years, 15, whatever years it is, do not have to be the pattern in the addiction of 2012. The place of complacency you've been for so long and the rut you've been in and the depression you've felt, you do not have to walk through it in 2012. But by the power of God's spirit, you have the ability to be an overcomer in this coming year. 2 Peter 1:3 says this, the beginning part of it says, God's power has given us everything we need to lead a godly life. The very first part there, God's power has given us everything we need to lead a godly life. Yes, we're going to stumble at times. Yes, we're going to face difficulty at times. But don't walk around feeling defeated in 2012. But realize that God has given you the power to control yourself, to be an overcomer. We so often just want to give up because we've messed up. But remember that his spirit has come to save us. That's the thing we do. We get saved, we think everything is going to change. Well, when we accept Christ, the spirit of God comes into us, we become renewed in our spirit, man. We're no longer down by death anymore, and sin has not separated us anymore from God, but we have come into right relationship. But the thing is, it doesn't mean that our emotions, our wills, our attitudes, our habits, everything changes at the same time. There's a process that has to take place in our lives, but we tend to not realize that. And as soon as we start to mess up, we say, nothing's ever really happened. God's never really saved me. I don't think I can do this. And we just resort back to our old self. And we have maybe been saved for years, yet we have never grown up spiritually because we think, I can't do it. But you can, because God is with you. God has given you the power. God has given you the tools to do it. And I want to share with you four quick tools just that you could take into the year 2012 and really any time, not just in the new year, but with you to help you to be an overcomer, to be able to have self-control. Now, here's the thing. You're not going to be surprised by the four things I share, okay? Because you're going to think, just like a New Year's resolution seems too cliche, these four things seem too, I always hear those things. But the question is are we consistently, faithfully doing them? Because these things will bring life to our spirit. I was that person growing up in the church. I always thought, yeah, I've heard that before. And, you know, I'm preaching this today and I'm like, yeah, I've heard it before. But I got to go from a place of hearing it before and begin to be a place of living it out. And so I'm going to challenge you with these four things once again, because these things will help you. God has given these as tools to you to have godly living in your life. The number one is His Word. Very simple, His Word. It's not about just listening to a pastor tell you the Word, but it's about you finding the Word on your own and reading it and understanding it. Let me read to you 2 Timothy 3:16 says, God has breathed life into all Scripture. It is useful for teaching us what is true. It is useful for correcting our mistakes. It is useful for making our lives whole again. It is useful for training us to do what is right. Right there in that scripture, it mentions four things that the Word of God can do for us. It will teach us what is true. Man, that right there will help us so much to have self-control. Because when things come our way and we are blinded by truth, that won't happen anymore, because the Word of God will shed light on it and we will know what is true and what is right. And it will help us to know what we need to do in those circumstances. Next one, it says, you know, it's useful for correcting our mistakes. We all make mistakes. And what a better place to find out when are we making those mistakes and what are they? The Word of God will show them to us. And it's useful for making our lives whole again. Man, it's going to bring healing to our lives. As we find out about the promises God has for us and what He's done for us. And the last one is that it's useful for training us to do what is right. Man, this is like a training manual. It helps us know, then we get in that situation, we can do it. Because we know how. Because the Word of God is there. It's in us. It's like Psalms 119:11. It says, I have hidden your word in my heart so that I won't sin against you. Take the word and put it in us, not just on your iPhone, but in your hearts. Because it will change you dramatically. You want to talk about going to a new level of self-control? Know the Word of God. What a powerful weapon. He's given His Word. It's life breathed from Him to us. The second thing that He gives us is the opportunity to have communication with Him, to have prayer with Him. Second thing is prayer. Matthew 26:41 says this, watch and pray, then you won't fall into sin when you are tempted. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Jesus here is saying this to His disciples, watch and pray. Then you won't fall into sin when you're tempted. Not everything that we set goals for necessarily becomes a sin issue, but we are talking about the spiritual things this morning more so than just your diet. And so when we are faced with something that we say we're going to change, a pattern, a lifestyle, an addictive behavior, when we begin to live that out and act it out, once again, we are walking in our flesh. And more than likely, if it is a pattern of sin, which means disobedience, which we find out what that is in the Word, disobedience is sin. Temptation is going to come of our flesh wanting to do it, our own personal desires. And we have to have that self-control. We hear it. Jesus saying, man, pray so you won't fall into sin when you are tempted. We're all going to be tempted, but it's how do we handle it? What do we do with it? Jesus exemplifies throughout His ministry, you will see it time and time again that He prayed. It says He went away and prayed. He went away and prayed. And then when He got done praying, miraculous things happened, man. He's walking on water. He's feeding 5,000 people. He's going to the cross. things that we would probably never be able to do. But because he had a right relationship with his Father, he took time to talk to the Father. He knew the will of the Father. The same is true for us, that when we say we want to be able to change things in our life, that when we walk into circumstances, we are going to know the will of the Father because we've been in communication with him. I always say this when I talk about prayer. I say, what you do for God always comes out of your time with God. If you want to do greater things in 2012, spend time listening to the Father. The third thing, his Spirit. He has given us his Spirit. Galatians 5:16. I'm going to shorten this down, this passage. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but in Galatians 5:16 through 26, you can read it. But it starts off by saying, so I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Pretty simple there. You will not gratify these desires. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. This passage talks about that your spirit man wants to do one thing, your flesh, your sin nature wants to do something else. And they're always at battle with each other. And if you continue to read, it lists a whole group of things that are things that we do when we walk in our flesh. And I looked at the list, and one of my favorite passages is right here. And I see this, and I'm going, wow, I've done most of those things. You know, sexual immorality, to impurities, to having selfish ambitions, fits of rage, and being cliquey, and envying other people, and you know, and going on, hatred, and discord, and jealousy. We have all had some of these things we faced before, and we say, we don't want it to be a pattern anymore. Well, it goes on to say, then walk by the Spirit. And it ends by saying, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and what? Self-control. This is a package deal of fruit, of life-giving things that happen when we choose to walk by the Spirit. So if you say, I need to start loving my children more, begin to walk by the Spirit more because love is there. You say, I need to have self-control and get things under control, my anger, whatever. I need to be more patient. Walk in the Spirit. As you spend time in his word, you spend time in relationship with the Father, as you continue to allow the Spirit of God to empower you, who lives within you as you've accepted Christ, he will continue to transform you. This will be the fruit, what grows from your life as you walk in the Spirit. And the last thing, as we close here, Pastor Matt, if you come on up, is the fourth thing that God's given us is other people. Now this one, I think, now, you may say you have friends out there, but this is something that I think the church has a hard time with to a degree due to our busy schedules and everything else, is that we have friends, but I'm going further than that, saying, do we have relationship with believers who challenge us to have self-control, challenge us to right living? Proverbs 27:17, most of you know it, says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. It's not about just having a relationship with the Father, but it's having a relationship with your brothers and sisters also. He's given us these people to help us, to encourage us. But a lot of us don't like to be told what to do, and that's how we treat it when someone comes and challenges our lives. It's okay for maybe a pastor to do it up here, but it's because you don't feel like he's in deep personal relationship with you. But man, one of your best friends comes to you, man, don't betray me like that and call me out. Those are the people that love you, that know you, that want to see life in you. I challenge us this year as a church to grow in true community and relationships with one another. Because as you do that, it will help you to grow as a man or woman of God. I said it earlier that we face these things and the enemy loves to put us in a mindset that we're facing it all alone. You're going to go home from here and you're going to face some kind of temptation this coming week. And you're going to sit there and go, oh, I just can't. Why can't I overcome that? Why can't I? See, the mindset is I. Why can't I deal with that? But lean on the presence of God. Lean on relationships with others to bring accountability, to help you, to encourage you, to maybe give you tips, to pray for you. Find his word. Let it become the main source of life in you so you won't sin any longer. I have a picture here I want to show you. Bring it up on the screen. You got that picture up there? Okay. He's got it right here. Tell me if anybody, who is that? Who? The Lone Ranger. Now, some of you are like, some guy, black and I didn't know they made pictures in black and white. The Lone Ranger. No, I looked up some history on it. It says 1933. There was a radio show that came out with the Lone Ranger, and it was a big hit. And because of that, then in the late 40s to the late 50s, a TV show came out with this guy called the Lone Ranger. How many of you ever seen an episode of the Lone Ranger in here? I would watch the reruns all the time. And there's movies and stuff like that. He'd sit there. He was an ex-Texas Ranger who would go out and fight injustice in the West, right? He would take it on. He would take on whatever he could just to bring justice to those who have wronged people and are living a criminal lifestyle. And he would always get on his white horse and say, "Hi-yo, Silver, away." And he'd take off. And then someone would go, "Who was that masked man anyways?" So he'd ride off in the sunset. The thing is with this guy is, let me ask you, is that in the facing all the villains, dealing with all the stuff that he had to go through, and having to be this person who fought for justice, and if he didn't have victory, he pretty much was shot and killed. but here he is, the Lone Ranger, doing all this stuff. But did he really do it alone? He had Tonto, his Native American friend, who did it with them. He was a Lone Ranger in the sense he was the only ex-Ranger out there doing it, but he wasn't alone in the journey. And a lot of us have this type of mentality in our hearts. We have a Lone Ranger Christian mindset that we are out there battling things and addictions and controversy and the things of this world, the enemy, whatever you want to call it, we're battling it and you're doing it all alone. But even the great Western hero, the Lone Ranger, had his faithful friend Tonto. Tonto would call him what? Do you guys remember he'd say King of Wasabi? Which means, what does it mean? Faithful friend, I think is what it was, or faithful, something along those lines. Trusted friend. God's given you other Tontos in this body of believers to help you be an overcomer in 2012. Now, some of you that are younger going, "That's so funny sounding," whatever. Okay, well, let me rephrase it for you. God's giving you other people to help you. You don't have to do it alone. He's also given you other tools, his word. He's given you the opportunity to free communication with him. You don't have to get a phone plan or carry around a device to talk with him. It can happen at any given time. And he's given you a spirit to live within you, to give you the power to be an overcomer. He didn't walk into battle alone. He took someone with him. And together, they did much more than they ever would have been able to do alone. Same thing for you. As you go into 2012, I challenge you to walk in self-control. But don't do it from a Lone Ranger mindset. Do it with others. Do it with the power of God. Do it with the Word of God in your heart so you will not sin against Him. Don't worry about what happened in last year. Last year happened, or yesterday, or even this morning. But today, stand firm and say, "I'm going to make the resolve to grow, to go forward in who I am in Christ." Lord, I just pray for this body of believers and for myself, Lord, that we would walk out of here not with a mindset of being a Lone Ranger type of a mindset, but Lord, we would walk out of here knowing that you're with us, knowing that you want freedom for us, knowing that the things that we continually face, the things that we feel we'll never overcome, that Lord, today it can be broken, it can be changed by your Spirit. And Father, that you have given us people, you have given us your word, you've given us your Spirit who lives within us to help us face the things that our flesh says, "I want to do it," but we know we need to do something else. Lord, you've given us the tools to be able to do it. And Lord, I pray you would help us this coming year, this coming day, this coming week, in the next hour, to be able to have this discipline and this control in our lives, that we would not be like a city torn down, the walls are not exposed, that we can be crushed. But Lord, that we would build it up around us. That we'd stick to what we say. We want to choose to change. That we can change to look more like Christ. in the coming days. I pray against condemnation. I pray against this fear that wants to settle in the hearts of people to say that you'll never be able to do it. Spirit of fear, be gone in the name of Jesus. God has given us a spirit of love and of a power and of a sound mind, a self-discipline, a power to overcome, the heart to love others, not fear. So let us not fear the things that we face this coming week, but let us be overcomers through Christ Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.